Let me begin by welcoming each one of you and to those who are visiting with us. I want you to know that we appreciate the fact that you made a choice to come and be a part of our service tonight, and we understand that you could have gone other places. And we hope and pray that your time here will be of some spiritual benefit for you. I would encourage you to follow with me, and again, I remind you that you have a responsibility to know truth. You're going to be held accountable for the things that you believe in and the way that you live your life. And so when I encourage you to study, I'm sincere about that. I want you to know that the Bible is understandable and that you can read it and you can reach good and right conclusions from it. In our lesson this morning, we talked about the fact that a Christian's ambition should not be material security, but rather it needs to be God's rule. And we read the entirety of the text in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through verse 34. And again, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is trying to instill in his disciples that there's going to be a change of attitude, that there's going to be a change of heart, and that for anyone who would be a child of God, unlike in Old Testament times, if you're going to benefit from being God's people, then you will have certain qualities and characteristics in your life. In the text, in Matthew 6, 19 through 34, we read clearly that the material things of life, they are not secure. We can put our faith and our hope in these things. We can trust in them, but they will let us down. Nothing about this life is guaranteed. The jobs we have, the money we earn, the things we buy, nothing in this life is guaranteed. And that's the point that we ended with this morning. I want to again define the idea of ambition. What our ambition should be. It is a strong desire to gain a particular objective, specifically the drive to succeed or to gain fame, power, wealth, etc. It is the objective strongly desired. And so what we're talking about then is what motivates us. What is the desire that we have that moves us to act, that we give our time to, we consider to be important in life? And again, we were very clear this morning that while we have earthly responsibilities, God-given responsibilities, we must be able to prioritize and we must be able to put things in their proper place. And so tonight, we want to look at the fact that a Christian's ambition is to know and obey God's rule, God's laws. God states His will for us. And I want us to understand that when we think about God's rule, God's laws, we should not think of them as being burdensome, troublesome. We should not think of them as being hard, unfair. You know, so often we hear today about people who want their freedom. And we hear a lot in our society about this idea of freedom. And usually what is meant by that is that people want no restraints. They want no one to tell them what to do, how to live, what is right. They want to be able to make the decisions on their own. And if they are pleased to do this, they want to do it. If this makes them feel good, then so be it. And so we often define what is good by our own desires. I want us to realize tonight that God's rule, God's laws, are best for us in every way possible. God's rule will, in fact, keep us together. It will give us the best that this life has to offer. As vain as the material world is, God's rule will help us to get the very best from it. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul said, He is the image of the invisible God, talking about Jesus Christ, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together. As long as this world has been in existence and man has lived on it, it is God, it is Christ, who holds creation together and makes things go. It's true that God set in order certain laws in the very beginning. But please understand, it is God's authority and God's rule that keeps these things going. And they will continue as long as God desires. And so God's rule offers the best from this life because it holds things together. Unless Jesus comes, I know that tomorrow will come, and the next day, and the next day. Because Jesus holds things together. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, Peter said, "For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So understand that if we want to have good days, and if we want to be able to enjoy this life, love this life, then there are certain things to be done, and they are all a part of God's rule. Note in verse 12, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer." Who are the righteous? Are they not the ones who keep God's will? Are they not the ones who do righteousness in their lives? The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. What is evil? Evil is that which God says is wrong. Evil is decided by God's word, by God's rule. Let me say that it makes no difference what man says, what man decides. God has already given us a standard of right and wrong. You can read those in a variety of places. You can read those in the book of Romans chapter 1, for example, or the book of Galatians chapter 5, and there are many other places that give to us a list of things that help us to get the most out of life, things not to do, and then things that we are to do. God's rule offers the best in life for our family, for our business relationships, for our citizenship in this country, and for our neighbors. The Bible speaks to all of these and is clear as to how we can get the very most of our relationships in this life. And you'll notice that what God suggests does not always fit what man thinks. All you have to do is read Ephesians chapter 5 and get the picture there of the wife and the husband and what Paul says there with regard to each and their relationship, their responsibilities, their duties. And I can tell you that society would wholeheartedly disagree with Paul's statements. The idea that the wife is to be in subjection, the thought that the man is to love his wife as himself, just as Christ gave himself for the church. These are not well accepted ideals in our society today. God offers us the best from this life. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, "May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And so what we find there is the idea of joy, the idea of thanksgiving, the idea that we can be strengthened by the power and the might of God, that He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of all saints. The same inheritance that the Apostle Paul enjoyed, the same inheritance that Peter or James enjoyed. That is why, as a Christian, we need to be ambitious to serve God. In Romans chapter 8, we find in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7, we find, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so there we find that we have peace, peace that goes beyond the understanding of man. Peace that you cannot find in this world. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, Paul mentions the idea of comfort and hope. Do you ever need a moment of comfort when things are not going well in your life? Maybe something devastating has happened. Have you ever needed that moment of comfort? And what about hope? Have you ever despaired and thought that there was no hope? But you see, God gives us that hope. God comforts our hearts. And we have the hope of God. Passage that I read a moment ago in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. We talked about joy and thanksgiving. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through verse 39, Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Think about this for a moment. The God of heaven, the God of creation, the Elohim of the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. God loves us. He loves His creation. It's more than just a passing kind of fancy about something. You know, sometimes we do something, we make something, and we are proud of it for a few minutes. God loves us. Our Lord loves us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered, Paul says. He's describing his life as an apostle. He says, this is why we are here. Daily, it's as if we are being slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about that for a moment. There's not a thing in this life that can separate us from God. In our Bible class this morning, we talked about the fact that our sins, our iniquities, separate us from God. And that God will not hear us in that state. But realize that that is our doing. That is because we have made choices contrary to God's will, to God's law, to God's rule. But there's nothing that can separate us from God's love. So long as we remain faithful. When you look at all that God's rule offers us, the very best in this life, it offers us the best family possible if all will but partake of God's rule in their lives. When you think about the business relationship, it makes you the best employee or employer possible if you will follow God's rule in your life. there is nothing that this life offers us that is good unless it is enhanced by God's rule. Unless we follow God's rule. We can do all of the same things in life without God, and they all be vanity and meaningless, worthless. Or we can do these things that will help us to grow as Christians. And therefore they have value. They have value because they lead us to God. And more important, they can lead us to the treasures in heaven. That's what we're looking for. Yes, God's rule in our lives gives us the best opportunity to get the most out of our time here on this earth. But that's not why we're here. We're here preparing for heaven. In Matthew 6, verse 20 and 21, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, Jesus said. And so we need to be laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. This morning, we talked about verse 19 in great detail. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Instead, we need to be laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. As he says in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All of the physical blessings of life God has promised to give us. Not in abundance. Not that we will always be as satisfied as we would like, or maybe even as we think we ought to be. But God has promised that he will give us what we need to sustain life and to make it possible for us to serve him and for us to respond to him. But notice we must seek first the kingdom of God. Now listen, and his righteousness. There's that word again. His righteousness. What does that mean? What God establishes as right. Again, let's understand that there is one who has that right and power to establish authority, to establish rule and laws. We cannot fully appreciate heaven in this life and all of the treasures that we will enjoy there. It's not possible. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 through verse 4, Paul said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And he heard things. Now listen. He heard things that cannot be told, which man cannot utter. What's the meaning of that? Well, he heard things that we are not capable as human beings to be able to hear, to be able to speak about. They are so far beyond anything that is earthly, anything that we are aware of, anything that we know. That man going up in a sense, in the body, out of the body, Paul said, I don't know, God knows. But again, the point is, man cannot bring that back with him to the understanding, to the clarification of humanity. We cannot fully appreciate heaven in this life. What kind of body are we going to have after death and in the resurrection? Philippians 3, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you notice that he's talking about citizenship right now. Right now. We have a citizenship in heaven. No, we're not in heaven yet. We've not been gathered by God yet. But we have a citizenship there, and we await the Savior. Now listen, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enabled Him even to subject all things to Himself. So at some point in time, we are going to be glorified with the body just as Jesus Christ was, the same kind of body. We know from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 to 53, that it is an imperishable, an immortal body. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. I don't know what that is. I don't know what an imperishable body is. I don't know what an immortal body is. The only thing I know is this physical, weak body that we have here on this earth. I understand the pain that it suffers. I understand that it grows old and can no longer do what it could when it was 19 or 20 years old. I recognize the perishable body because I've seen people die. The imperishable, the immortal. About the only thing I know about it is that it's going to be completely different from what I have right now. It's going to result in the ultimate victory. Verse 54, 1 Corinthians 15. When the perishable, this body, puts on the imperishable, and the mortal, this body, puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I am waiting for. That is what motivates me. That is what I anticipate. It is what I am ambitious for. I want God's rule in my life because it is the only way that I will enjoy this victory that we read about here from the Apostle Paul. Let me tell you, those outside of Christ, whatever change takes place, and again, I don't know, but whatever change takes place, whatever happens to them, they too have a place of eternity. It is the polar opposite of heaven. In heaven, we have a dwelling place of God. But not just a dwelling place of God, a place where all of the troubles of this world end. In verse 3 of Revelation 21, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. Now listen, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That's what awaits those in Christ. That's what awaits those whose ambition is to follow God's rule. How is the other place described? Outer darkness, weeping, and gnashing of teeth, a place where the fire will never be quenched. No, we cannot fully appreciate heaven in this life, but I do know that understanding this life, having gone through the difficulties of this life and witnessed death and realizing that I myself will die, having mourned and cried, having been in pain, I look forward to a place and time when all of these things have passed away, as John said here in Revelation chapter 21. And so what I am reminded of as a Christian's ambition, God's rule. What I'm reminded of is that my labor is not in vain. In verse 58, of 1 Corinthians 15 as we conclude that chapter. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Be steadfast, three words, steadfast, immovable, and abounding. Those describe our work in the Lord. And the reason why we are willing to make it our ambition, His rule, His law, is because we understand that our labor is not in vain. We mentioned this morning in the book of Ecclesiastes, the wise men talking about the vanity of life there. And in fact, as he closes out Ecclesiastes, he describes life as being vain, vanity of vanity. And then he tells us our purpose, our duty, our reason for being here. It's very simple. Fear God and keep His commandments. In doing that, labor is not in vain. Why? Because it goes beyond this life. It prepares me for a good eternal future. One that is blessed. One that is joyful and happy. One where we will call God our Father, and He call us His children. A Christian's ambition should never be this material world and the treasures that it offers. It should always be God's rule. If you're not a Christian, I hope and pray that tonight you will think about your condition. You will understand a need to follow God's rule, that you will make that your ambition in life. You begin the journey by believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, by repenting, turning your heart to Him, by confessing your faith in Him and being baptized, being immersed in water for the remission of sins. That will put you into Christ. That will make you a child of God, where now you can be ambitious in your service to God, in following His rule in your life. Because until that point in time, you cannot. Maybe as a child of God, you have forgotten some of these things, and maybe you've not set your ambition in life God's rule. I would encourage you to come back. You have that opportunity. You have it tonight. You have it as long as there is breath in your body. As long as you're alive on this earth, God gives you that opportunity. But don't waste the chance you have. If you need to respond in some public way, do so, as together we stand and sing this.